You have a Bible, and I hope you do. Let me invite you to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. I tried hard to see how I could make Joseph turn into the Lord's Supper and couldn't pull it off. So I am taking a different route today, and you're going to get all the Joseph you can handle from your Sunday school teachers today. But Exodus chapter 12 sure does give us a blueprint for the Lord's Supper, a foreshadowing of the Lord's Supper. And no, I haven't lost my mind. The Old Testament is rich with Jesus Christ. And we've got to get over that, well, we're doing the Lord's Supper today, and so you have to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 because that's the Lord's Supper chapter. No, we can find Christ right here in Exodus chapter 12, the foreshadowing through the Passover. You have a lamb, you have blood, you have a judgment, and you have a deliverance. Now, if that doesn't strike you as a picture of the themes of the gospel, what else would? Jesus is the Lamb sent from heaven to bear our sins. Jesus is the one who shed His blood on the cross. Jesus is the one who took the wrath of God upon Him. And Jesus is the one who delivers us. He is our Passover Lamb. He is our exodus out of sin and judgment. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Well, the music was intentional today because I want you to go to the cross today. And the songs that we sang just a moment ago were songs that reminded us of the cross. You know how I approach the Lord's Supper. That the Lord's Supper today will preach the sermon. I'm just setting up what we're about to experience in the Lord's Supper. This table will preach to you today if you ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, not just a cup and not just bread, but the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. This is who we are as a church. Our identity is in Jesus Christ alone. So when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are identifying with Him. We are saying, Lord, we are yours. We belong to you and to you alone. We claim no other gods but our God and your Son Jesus. Exodus chapter 12 begins this way. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. In the Hebrew, that is a reference to a new beginning. God was going to do something new in Egypt through His miraculous judgment. So this is a new beginning. It shall be the first month of the year for you. And verse 3 is so important because it says, tell all the congregation of Israel. All the congregation of Israel. Every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household. All the congregation, every person, every household. That is so important for the unity of the body of Christ. Think about this. When we take the cup, in just a moment, everybody drinks out of the same kind of cup. We don't get a special cup out for the pastor. We don't get a special cup out for the deacons. We don't get a special cup out for the senior adults. We don't get a special cup out for anyone. Why? Because we're all one. In Jesus Christ. We're all one as we come to this table today. We drink of one cup. We drink of one bread. Same cup, same bread means same Savior. And if there's nothing else that the Lord's Supper would speak into your life today, may it be this: we are on the same team. Same Savior, same team. And all who take of the cup and the bread today are saying to the Lord and to each other, we're in. We are all in. We are committed. We are surrendered. This is our life, Jesus Christ. So tell the whole congregation, all the body gathered together. That's why I love to do the Lord's Supper on a Sunday morning where the most of our people are present. He says, verse 4, and if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. So here's this lamb. We have already seen in Genesis 22 how God provides a substitute for Isaac when Abraham is asked to sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah. And here again, God is providing a substitute. We have a body and now a lamb. And you'll notice in verse number 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. That lamb shall be perfect. That lamb shall be holy. That lamb shall be pleasing unto the Lord. It just reminds us of the Lord Jesus. A lamb without blemish. And as you hold the cup and as you hold the bread before we eat together, confess Jesus as the Passover lamb without blemish. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Lambs are so important when we talk about Jesus. We know that Isaiah chapter 53 verse 7 says that Jesus was like a lamb led to the slaughter. We know that John chapter 1, verse 29, John says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Then in verse 7, there's the mention of blood. Hebrews 9, 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. Seeing the blood means there has been a sacrifice, there has been a death. And as we hold the cup that represents the Lord's blood, His life, the life of the new covenant that we have by faith in Jesus Christ, we could just give thanks and praise for the precious blood of the Lamb. Then they shall take some of the blood. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 19 says about the blood, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Is the blood of Christ precious to you this morning? Is it precious? Like that of a lamb without blemish. In Romans 5, chapter 9, Paul talks about the theological significance of the blood. He says, more than this, being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God. The same wrath that God will bring down in the Exodus 12 Passover is the same wrath that is being poured out on Jesus Christ in our place. Folks, we could not stand under the wrath of God. It would obliterate us. But the sinless, spotless Lamb of God could and did. Then they shall take some of the blood, that which is sacrificed, that which has given its life, and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. Now, this is the Lord telling them what to do. Here's how I am going to identify you. I want you to mark your doorposts. I want you to show Egypt and all the world that you belong to me. One of the ways that we show that we belong to Jesus is by remembering him in the Lord's Supper. This is community at its best. This is belonging at its best. Belonging to him. Identifying with him. To take the cup and the bread today is to be marked out for the glory of God. I belong to you. Heart, mind, soul, strength, it is all yours, Lord. All yours. This is blood applied to an external structure. But you and I know in Christ, in the gospel, the blood is not applied externally, but it is applied to the heart through the new birth. We become new creations. The old is gone and the new has come because of the blood. So he says, mark yourselves, identify yourselves as belonging to the Lord. And they shall eat, verse 8, they shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head, its legs, its inner parts. In other words, all of it. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn, this all-consuming sacrifice. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet. They seem like they're ready to go. They're ready to be rescued. They're ready to be redeemed. God says, you be ready. Belt fastened, shoes on. Nobody's running around the house trying to find out where their shoes are. Shoes are on. Belt is fastened. We are ready for action because the Lord is about to deliver us. Living in anticipation and expectation. And you shall not eat it in haste. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment, just judgment, righteous judgment. And when God executes his judgment, he executes his judgment against our sin, against our rebellion. And so the Bible tells us, as he executes judgments, I am the Lord. 13, critical verse, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when, this is the Lord speaking, and when I see you, that's not what it says. What's it say? When I see the blood. When I see the blood. What does the blood represent? The blood represents death. And the wages of sin is death. And so what the blood is representing is that this household, which is marked by the blood, has paid sin's debt. And that's exactly what Jesus is going to do for us on the cross. The blood of Christ is evidence that a debt has been paid. And the resurrection of Christ is God's acceptance of the payment of that debt so that we can have forgiveness. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood is sin's payment. And I just have to ask this morning in a crowd this size, when God looks at you, does he see the blood of his son covering you? Because folks, that's the only way you'll find acceptance with God. That's the only way you will escape judgment. If it's when God looks at you, He sees the blood of His Son on your life because you have surrendered to Him as King and Savior and Lord. And it's Christ in us who's the hope of glory. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Saved by the blood, spared by the blood. When he doesn't see blood, there's judgment and death. But when he sees the blood, he passes over because the payment has been made. And there are those Israelites huddled behind that door as the angel of death comes. And they're putting their faith and hope in a God who said, if you will mark your house with blood, I will pass over it. They had to have faith. Because it's by grace that we're saved through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. It is the blood of the Lamb. The words of the songs that we are going to hear in just a moment as we enter into the Lord's Supper reflect the gospel. Listen to them as you hold the elements in your hands, as you await the elements to come to your direction. Just reflect on what's being said in the words of these songs as we worship through the Lord's Supper today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for preparing our hearts through song and through word today. Father, you're really clear about the Lord's Supper. It's not something that we should approach lightly. You actually tell us in 1 Corinthians 11 that we need to be careful that we don't drink judgment on ourselves because we're not recognizing the body and the blood of Christ. And so, Father, if we're saved, if we are belonging to Christ, if we have had that moment of conversion where we have put our faith and hope and trust in you, and Father, this is for us to do in remembrance of you. And if you're here and you've never trusted Christ, you've never surrendered your life to Him, you can't say for sure today that the Savior's blood is covering you, then I would say to you, dear friend, let the cup pass and let the bread pass. And flee to Jesus Christ and cling to Him. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we can be saved. So, Father, during this time, would we draw close to you? Would we worship you? God, would you recalibrate our hearts? Would you break down our calloused and cold hearts? Would you fill them with fresh fire from above? I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Those gentlemen who are going to